Our next speaker
is Molly McGuire. That's not the Molly McGuire's from the turn of the century. She is an MPH candidate at Tulane University here in New Orleans, specializing in program design and implementation. The study she's presenting today was completed during her concurrent Peace Corps service through the Master's International Program. Molly has worked and published in the fields of sexual and reproductive health, chronic disease maintenance, health systems improvement, maternal and child health, and program intervention evaluation.
Okay, so like she said, I just got back from the Peace Corps about a week ago. So that was a two-year service, and during which time I did this study, Motivation for Seeking Information and Services Associated with Reproductive Health Among Rural Peruvian Young Adults. This is exploratory research from Amazonas, Peru. I have no relationships to disclose. So Amazonas is a state in northern Peru. And according to the Demographic Health Survey, about 85% of women in Amazonas have never spoken with a health worker about family planning. The median age of first sex for women, 20 to 24, is 17.6, which is below the national average. They have the highest incidence of teen pregnancy of the 26 states in the country. Sources of treatment and advice for women with STDs. So first they go to the doctors. You can see 55% would go to the doctor, 33% would go to the pharmacy, and so on. And the study sites where my study took place, there are no pharmacies, so the rest of those sources do exist, but the pharmacies, no. This is a typical picture. This is one of the study sites. So mountainous communities of about 1,000 people, and they do have access to health care, very basic health care. So the study attempts to identify sources of and knowledge about sexual and reproductive health-related information, examines the role of social networks, professional resources, self-managed care, and assesses the barriers and needs surrounding reproductive health information, and hopes to make recommendations for further programming in this area. Methodology, so in these three similar communities, we did five audio-recorded gender-stratified focus groups with three groups of females and two groups of males. And from those focus groups, we took 9 follow-up private interviews with the same people. And this is 18 to 24-year-olds in these communities. We reached out to them through purposive sampling. Consent was obtained, and we trained one male facilitator, myself being the female facilitator, and a female and male note taker. So what did we find in terms of knowledge? A general poor quality of information, a lot of misconceptions that were being recycled around the community about sexual and reproductive health. For example, one woman said, "I thought they'd take the baby out of our stomachs during the delivery. No one takes care of us. You have to do it." So a lot of misinformation. We found that there was a better quality of information among people who had left at some point from the community and maybe lived or studied outside on the coast or in the regional capital. Each gender thinks the other gender knows more about reproductive health. So according to the women, they said, "Oh, well, men just go out into the street and they play soccer and they have friends and they talk about reproductive health." That was not true according to the men. And then the men said that, well, the women go to the health center and they have this great relationship with the health center, and they learn about sexual and reproductive health that way because it's their responsibility. One man said, "Yes, I've heard of family planning, but more than that, no, it's a women's thing." So these are the knowledge issues going on. In terms of sources, aside from passive exposure via the radio or banners or the television, we can group them into group kind of active exposure into self-managed care, the informal networks, and the formal networks. So in terms of self-managed, the pharmacies were brought up mostly by the women. Women said, "When you don't want anyone to know your health issue, you go to the pharmacies in Chachapoyas, which is the regional capital." Obviously, that's for people who have access and the means of doing that. And that kind of highlights also that the issues of confidentiality in these small health posts in rural areas. Internet was also cited as a source, also having its barriers. You have to know how to use the internet. You have to have access to the internet. And there's a lot of distrust in general about that source of information. Natural methods, including home birthing, for example, treating with native plants. Self-harm was brought up by the men in the focus groups and the interviews as a way of a means of dealing with their sexual and reproductive health issues. They talked about turning to alcohol, cutting themselves, depression, keeping secrets, and like abandoning behaviors. One man said, they don't talk, they keep it a secret. They get frustrated and can do harm, do poorly at their job, turn to alcohol. So you see this negative spiral of self-managing, self-harm as a result. Within the informal networks, women typically turn to their partners as a source of information. Friends and family were also mentioned. Teachers are mentioned as a form of informal source of information. So outside of the educational institutions, they were making friends with their teachers who also live in the community. One woman said, there's a teacher who talked about sex, but it was my first year of secondary, and I still didn't want to have children, and she was on a contract, but she was trustworthy. So a lot of barriers associated with that type of resource as well. High rotation of staff within the schools and trust issues. Traditional healers as well. Within the formal networks, the health center is utilized. A lot of barriers also associated with that. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Specialized care is also sought out, again, if you have the means to do that and seek specialized care, be it in Lima on the coast or in the regional capital. And that was mainly used as a means of averting having to go to the health center, which was associated with stigma. So other than the typical kind of typical barriers you see, personal, interpersonal, societal, structural barriers associated with health-seeking behavior, I kind of wanted to highlight three specific ones that jumped out during these groups, that just outstanding barriers to health center information and services, trust-building issues with young women and first-time seekers, women that don't have children, don't have a reason, same as men, to go to the health post. Men said, men have no pretext to go to the health center like women do. Women go for their monthly checkups with their children. So they have an opportunity at least to start building a relationship there. Another barrier was the judgmental personnel. They're sometimes accusatory. They talked about denial of services. Sometimes you go to the health post and the health personnel are in a bad mood, so they don't want to attend to you. So it's a variety of things. One woman said, it's not fear, it's shame. I would go if it were the same midwife because they saw me in my delivery and they know me. Maybe the new person laughs when they see me. So back to confidentiality issues and rural judgmental confidentiality. The other thing was this idea of a motherhood trap, where this came up over and over in the focus groups. This process that happens to women in rural areas, that once you're a mother, your friendship network and your social network erodes really quickly. So you get into your relationship, partner jealousy, and on the part of the husband, this need to secure the relationship, and they start having children, which limits the social ability of the woman to leave the house, to do whatever she needs to do outside of the house, be social at least. And so you see this decay in women 18 to 24, and is when this starts happening. And also on the part of the woman, this social desirability, this need to maybe meet the expectations of her mother-in-law with whom she lives now. And they said, but to find a female friend is really hard now. They don't come to visit anymore, they said. So this isolationist trap. And lastly, this barrier, this extreme barrier to health-seeking behavior of young men. I had trouble getting men to come to the focus groups. They're very non-participatory. Self-harm is a coping mechanism. which obviously has public health impacts. The shame associated with health seeking. Men would rather have the illness than tell someone about it. So this negative type of behavior is an extreme barrier. Limitations, the general limitations of purposive sampling, not representative, not generalizable because it was only done in a specific area. Social desirability bias in the focus groups, a small sample size, and low male participation. So, recommendations, we need to minimize the barriers to health-seeking behavior by considering the important role of trust in the relationships between provider and patient for first-time users, especially reaching out to them. Efforts should be made to include men in the rural health system's male-centered events. None of that type of activity is currently going on in this area. Awareness of the motherhood trap for programming and improving the capacity of schools in sexual and reproductive health education, so maximizing the collaboration between the school and the health center. I'd like to acknowledge these individuals and organizations for collaborating in this project. And that's all. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Molly?
We have a few minutes, I think.
So, I must have missed it, but when you set up the focus group and you prompted them to talk about this, it seemed like some of it was about pregnancy, but some of it was maybe about STI.
You mean in recruiting or in during the group?
During the group, as you set up the parameters
for
the discussion.
Sure. Because of the basic level of knowledge that they had, I did have to do some kind of introductory. First of all, what do they know about it? You know, we did kind of a participatory brainstorm. What do you know? What does this bring to mind, top of the mind associations about sexual and reproductive health? And then I went from there, kind of doing a basic education about, okay, well, this is actually this, and we talk about this, and STDs, and teen pregnancy, and family planning. So they might not know it as sexual and reproductive health, but they do know, in general, what we're talking about. Does that answer the question? Okay.
Any more questions?
You mentioned a small sample size, and I
missed
it. I'm wondering if you actually...
Total 25, between the men and the women.
And it was, like, the balance again was how many men, how many women?
It was 15 women and 10 men. And we did the focus groups, and we used the same people and did the interviews with those same people who had already experienced the focus group. So they could kind of expand on those discussions.
Any additional questions?
In this specific area, it was about an hour and a half to the regional capital.
Okay.
Yeah, but even in the regional capital, they have people that they know, and a lot of times they just said, I just go to the coast. That's if they have the means and if they were single.
And how far to the coast?
It's about 9 or 10 hours.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We'll have an opportunity for additional questions afterwards. Thank you very much.